Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Tuesday, the 26th of July. And the kickoff to the Democratic National Convention was last night in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of that I grew up in.
The city of Joe Donahue.
Yes. I was going to say the city of my birth, but that's not the city of my birth. But it is. It's where I grew up, and it's nice to see the Philadelphians out and learning a little bit about Philadelphia through the convention, and it seems fairly accurate. Let me introduce the panel, and we'll get into it. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning to you and to all your fellow panelists and to all the listeners.
All right. And Rosemary Armeo joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to say hello to Gemma. My amazing granddaughter is in town.
Whoa. Oh, that's great. So you get like full...
She's listening, I think. She cried when I left this morning. So oh, I said, so listen on the radio.
I mean, that's sad, but it probably made you feel a little good, right?
I don't feel any of the effects that I might normally from the convention last night because of Gemma.
That's great. That's,
yes.
That's great.
Mike Spain is the associate editor of the Times Union, and always a pleasure to have Michael with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. Well, there was a convention last night. It kicked off. And the big question is many of the issues that we talked about yesterday on the program came to light. And we saw, we were looking for unity. We wanted to see unity. And there was a lot of rancor on the floor. There was a lot of debate between the supporters of Hillary Rodham Clinton and the supporters of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders did speak last night and tried his best, I think, to put a lot of that to rest with varying degrees of success. And there were many other speakers as well, but let us begin with just the overall idea of Democratic unity. Rosemary.
Well, my mother, who, as you know, I use as a font of wisdom out of the mouth of elders, said this morning, she goes, you know, the sad thing is, it isn't just Republicans who hate Hillary, it's the Democrats, too. Yeah. And I think that the idea of the convention and of the speakers who are amazing, uniformly amazing, was a good one. But the Bernieites are creating, I think, the optics that say something else. And Donald Trump certainly picked up on that. And I really worry tonight when Bill Clinton speaks and on Thursday night when Hillary speaks, what that is going to look like.
What do you think, is there anything they can do about it in the sense of the optics of it over the next three or four nights?
Mike should speak about this. We talked before the show about the absolute perfect for the Republicans timing of the WikiLeaks emails, which drops this on their lap on the eve of the convention. And there is no way around it that I can see.
Oh, I'm not so sure. It's a process that they're going through, the diehard Bernie supporters. And you have to remember, and we talked about this before, that these are the most ardent Bernie Sanders supporters who are the delegates to the convention. They are coming to work on the platform. They're coming to support positions that Bernie has championed during his long campaign. And they're not ready to give it up yet. And then to have the WikiLeaks revelations yesterday just inflamed all the things that they're in pain about. And that is that which is no surprise, you didn't learn it from the WikiLeaks, that the Democratic National Committee has been tilting it towards the Democrat frontrunner Hillary Clinton for a long time and not for the independent candidacy of Bernie Sanders. But to have that validated with all those emails just yesterday made them more angry, threw gasoline on the fire. They have till Thursday to come around, and it's going to be more difficult for them to do it. And it will be interesting to watch. But it has happened before. People have grudgingly come around and supported the party candidate. I think they're doing a good job of giving them a reason to support Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's very hopeful, but it was not the giant contrast to the chaos of the Republican convention that the Democrats plainly have been hoping for. You cannot mark it as a success.
But, well, Joe, you asked about Democratic unity, and isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I got to say, Rosemary, with that last point you just made, it still is very scary to me, and I'm sure to many of the people who are listening out there, that Trump is now in the lead.
Yeah.
Now in the lead.
He got a huge bump on that conference, even though it was really It was terrible.
And with all the chaos that went on in the Republican convention, I think this guy, the apprentice guy, knew what he was doing and saying, let chaos reign, let people watch this thing, let them see it, get them going. And he did that with his convention, as open as it was. You know, I've been thinking a lot about my hero, FDR. FDR knew that you could not take everything away from everyone. And you had to leave self-respect, you had to give jobs, you had to give housing, and that's why he was a genius. I think that to some degree the New York Times has followed that philosophy also, that when you get too piggish and you take too much away from people, that they're going to rebel. And that, I think, when CEOs are making 10 times more or 7 times more than they're giving wage increases, if at all, to people. And I think this is a revolution of the lower middle class in this country who have just had it. And that's why he's doing so well.
So Bernie Sanders spoke before delegates in the afternoon yesterday and was booed. And that had to have been a signal to him, and also a signal to the Clinton campaign. There were many reports throughout the late afternoon and early evening before the prime time events of the convention that both campaigns were meeting to try to figure out what they could do to lessen the blow. But I think it was something that even surprised Bernie Sanders.
Well,
he looked surprised last night when he was speaking and was still getting boos and his message was not being received. I thought he looked kind of stunned by it all.
I think he and Sarah and Silverman had it right when they just told everybody to sort of grow up, you know.
You feel the burn, get some ointment. That was my favorite
line. And coming
line.
From a Bernie supporter.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And the other great line, of course, being,
you're
being ridiculous.
I've
right.
used that about 4 times since she said it, quoting the great Sarah Silverman. I said this again. Mike and I had quite a conversation. We pre-rehearsed the show today by accident. But I think Bernie waited 2 months too long to start this process that you talk about, Mike. He is the one who said, no, we're going to keep this going. We're going to keep moving forward. Don't give up. And so now, if this had been happening in at the end of June, at the beginning of June, you would see them further along than on
the actual days of
the convention.
You still have the emails, right? I mean, from the very beginning, the campaign has been saying it's rigged against us, and then you have the emails showing that it was rigged against you.
I just can't get excited about
these
emails.
I just have to say, it's a process,
either.
And I don't think the process will end or, you know, even be over by Thursday. It's a process that needs to end by November
for the Democrats
to succeed.
Mike, will the bump, the pro-Hillary bump, be there in the same way it was there for the pro-Mike bump?
I just want to
point
out
this is a big bump, by the way.
Michael Dukakis had a 16-point lead after 17. The Democratic convention in 1988 over George Herbert Walker Bush, and he didn't do very well in November. It does. It goes up and down. The important thing is for the Democrats is to keep the focus on Trump. And that's what they were doing last night with the speeches by Sarah Silverman and by Michelle Obama and certainly by Elizabeth Warren.
You're a very smart guy. So let me ask you this question.
Sure.
What is really going on here? Is this about Trump? Because as Trump says one stupid thing after another, the needle doesn't move. And in fact, it may move a little bit in his favor. So what's really going on here that brings out 50% of American voters, approximately, and say, we don't care what he says, we like him, and we like his message. So the question then is, what is his message? Racist? Is it anti-Muslim? Is it the fact that wages haven't gone up? And because he certainly says that.
I think people filter out the offensive things. You know, the anti-Muslim, the anti-Hispanic, the anti-women comments he says, and what they embrace is that he speaks for them. That he's talking about the middle class that once thrived in some of these middle America states that is in decline. And they look back to that era of the 1960s and 70s, and they look at when they grew up, and they looked at their parents, and they're looking at the situation now, and they're feeling dejected and left out and not, and like nobody cares. So he's giving care to those people, and they're coming out strong and filtering out all the other stuff they don't like about them.
So here's the question for you and Rosemary that I would like to ask, and that is, what's to be done about this? And is there any responsibility on the part of Democrats throughout the United States for example, going too fast on many of the social issues which we all approve of, but which may really prove to be an anathema and a killer?
Well, it's a great question, and I just want to say to Mike, you know, I agree with you, but I'm wondering if the opposite isn't true, that they're not filtering out the stuff about the really disturbing racist tone of his comments, and there's a more guttural reaction to that than we care to admit. And then to Alan's point, then how do you get around that?
That's an uncomfortable suggestion that you're making, but I think that, you know, the dog whistle notion that he's saying things, but he means something much more deeper and much more racist, and people are quietly reacting to that. That is scary. And we, you know, we talked before on this show a few months ago about the Wilder effect, and that's the governor's race in Virginia, where Wilder was the African American, and people were responding to surveys saying they supported him, but in the end, he only won by a small margin. Well, people may not be telling the pollsters that they're supporting Trump when they really do, because they don't want to even acknowledge to themselves that they agree with some of his racist positions, and they're angry at other people, and he gives them somebody to be angry at, and that's very effective.
I found them to be annoyingly open about their embrace of Trump, and they don't say I'm racist. They say we don't want immigrants.
That's a smaller amount.
Fear.
Yeah, that's a smaller amount.
Well,
but I worry about those who don't say that, who are, like Joe said, kind of responding to his racist remarks.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, it's working not only here for the anti-immigrant thing, but everywhere. It's working in England. It's working in, you know, in Germany, where, look, let me ask you this. What happens if, God forbid, something bad happens before the election? Somebody sets off a bomb. Somebody goes in. What happens then is that Trump obviously is the big winner in each of those cases.
He's the beneficiary of anything that scares people. That's right.
Which is amazing, because Hillary also gets knocked for being too hawkish.
I know. The irony is difficult to consume and process. But, you could say the same things about Hillary and people don't care, and they somehow think that Trump is the hardliner who's going to protect them. And he has no experience and no proven ability. He hasn't even been talking about that for a decade. And
But the sociology here is that half this country is buying into it. At least half this country. And as you point out, Mike, there's some things you don't tell your pollster. So I would think, or your priest or your mother. And I would think that
but you're voting. You're going to vote that way.
That's right. You walk into that voting booth and you do it. And I find that extraordinarily scary.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll get some letters in, and then we'll go to the news at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorns Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Asia Barong Gallery, Stockbridge Road, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, maintaining 25,000 pieces of Asian sculpture, furniture, and art for home and garden, specializing in architectural and Buddhist elements. AsiaBarong.com. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang.
A lot of letters this morning. We'll get to a few of them before we go to a news break at the bottom of the hour. Alan.
Michael writes, and Michael writes quite frequently and then gets annoyed when I don't read his letters, but it says here, why does Alan believe that the polls when Trump is ahead and not when Hillary's ahead? I think he's a secret Trump sympathizer. Yeah, that's me, all right. David says, hi, gang. I watched Sanders' breakfast speech. I think it's important to point out Bernie was only booed when he mentioned Clinton or urged people to vote for her. Joe missed saying that, and some people might get the wrong idea of why he was booed.
Well, he was supporting, the whole point was to support Hillary Clinton, and he got booed saying it.
Hey, look, he was booed.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, you say him, and we read him. Trenner says, dear panel, I believe the Democrats have a moral responsibility to speak plainly about the danger that Trump victory would mean. I hope Hillary successfully exposes Trump's being unfit to be our president while not looking self-serving at the same time. Peter says, surely there are also man people who, when they get in the voting booth, will finally not pull the lever for a manifestly unsuited demagogue. I hope Peter. Marilyn says, Trump's followers don't dislike his offensive comments. Quite the contrary, he's voicing their thoughts in exactly the way they would express them. He's just like them. They are rude and love Trump's rudeness. And you see, I don't believe that. I believe there is a silent, so-called silent moral majority. This is not an endorsement of them by using this name, who are just being very silent and who don't like a lot of the progressive things that are happening in this country.
What's politically correct code for? When he uses politically correct, I'm not politically correct. What's that code for?
Yeah, that's code for all
this. Pro-gay, pro-gun control.
But he says he's pro-gay. That's the interesting thing.
Trump
does.
Yeah, but in a terrorist context.
He'll favor incarceration of people without, just cause, and he'd favor torture, and he'd favor bombing families of terrorists to deter terrorists from.
And he feels comfortable calling all Mexican immigrants, or most of them anyway, rapists and criminals. That's not being politically correct.
People seem to like it.
I know. It's terrifying.
James says, I would agree with the comment that Trump support is filter out the negative, but latching on to the nostalgic message. But the baby boomers and the last generation Xers feeling left out and forgotten? Welcome to what we millennials feel with the massive costs of living and education, bleak outlook for our future, constant put-downs of our generation, and simple wave of the hand in disregard of our thoughts and ideas by the older generations. You going to say something there, Rosemary?
No. It's probably one of my students.
She wants
students.
To say something.
It's probably one of my students, I'm afraid.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back and continue our conversation. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain making up the panel this morning. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back in just a moment with your letters as well as more topics this morning. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to The Roundtable and to our panel discussion. As promised, we have a lot of letters. We want to get back to them, and then we'll move on to some other topics that we have this morning. Alan.
Okay, Eric says, good morning, panel. Please quote Sarah Silverman properly.
Get on the radio. Can
it went away. My thing went away. And I got to see. Hold on. This is not good. This is not good. Everything's all messed up. Well, we should quote her properly, but I don't know. But anyway, I'm sorry about that, folks. I do apologize. That was from Eric B.
Yeah, I don't see it here,
Disappeared. Okay, so Donald said, Paul Simon, Alan, he did not look good at the convention last night. He either woke up from a week-long bender or is sick. He was in the New York Times a few weeks back, and he did not look good there. Did you notice? No, I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
He's recently announced he's going to stop touring and performing.
Yeah, I mean,
meantime, has teamed up with Steve Martin, and they're putting on a musical show on Broadway.
Yeah, it just closed.
Yeah.
Didn't do well, but they did it. And he's moving on to other stuff. But I don't know. I thought he did a good job last night, but anyway.
Yeah, I thought that musical entertainment was excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathleen said
Demi Lovato, too. I'm sorry, Demi Lovato was the other singer.
Alan, my brother just yesterday was planning not to vote for president because he wanted Bernie. After Bernie's speech today, he and his wife are voting for Clinton. He persuaded them, and maybe many more people, and that's from Kathleen.
Oh, that's hopeful.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I do have Eric's note here.
Okay,
so please quote Sarah Silverman properly. She called the Bernie ear busters ridiculous and not all Bernie supporters. Many news outlets are reporting this wrong. Also, I love Rosemary, but it is disappointing that she is so dismissive of the emails. Wrong is wrong even when it supports your candidate
of
choice.
No. I don't dismiss the emails. And they had the effect of costing Debbie Wasserman Schultz her job, which is proper. But I don't think... I don't think it's startling that the former chairman of Hillary's campaign was for Hillary. I don't think it's unusual that the Democratic establishment would not want Bernie Sanders, who is hardly a Democrat, much less a member of the establishment. None of that is shocking, nor do I think the support or lack of support from the DMC had a big effect on the election.
Daisy,
that's what I really think.
Daisy says, I put this at Bernie's feet. He didn't come around soon enough, and if Trump wins, I think Bernie will have to take a lot of the blame.
That's what I just said. I agree.
Okay. Hello, all, says Aline. I watched the convention from Mexico where I live and still cannot understand how the Bernie supporters, after watching the videos about Trump's vile behavior, will not just let go. They are like angry children who have not gotten their way. Actually, the whole political arena reminds me of my second grade classroom in Connecticut.
Aline. You know, the reports from the floor are even more distressing. There are signs all over put up by Hillary supporters. You may have seen them that say, love Trump's hate. And the Bernie supporters are going around and defacing them, saying, love Bernie. And support for Hillary is becoming like, stop Hillary. And even lock her up. I'm sorry. That's not being a good Democrat or a good American at this point.
And again, these are the most fanatical Bernie supporters who are the delegates.
Yeah, the letter writer who said Silverman was only excoriating the burners.
Right.
She's right about that. Mm-hmm. She is herself a Bernie supporter. Yeah.
Brucey writes, and I thought it was successful last night, and, capital letters, Greg Sargent of the Washington Post tweeted 2 weeks out 2 hours ago now, new NBC survey monkey poll finds that zero bounce for Trump. Clinton leads 46-45 unchanged. We'll see how it goes. But Clinton should be getting a good bounce as Democrats see the contrast between Trump's dystopian convention.
The opposite of utopian.
Yeah, and the Dems' presentation of strong diversity.
I had promised or was going to look into trying to find out about the SurveyMonkey polling apparatus, because it's a survey, an online survey, and I just don't know how accurate it is.
Way.
And
yeah.
I haven't really been able to find what their
methodology.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good point. Pointer Institute, the journalism think tank, has a course right now. You take it in a few minutes online, and it's the value of online polling. That might be a good thing for us to do as homework.
Well, the other thing too is that what I do notice is in the polls that are the amalgamation of all the polls, that one is not included.
Exactly.
So that's one of the things.
It's where only people online who volunteer themselves to offer their opinion are being counted. So it is suspect.
And I don't really mean to say this, but it's not unlike voting for American Idol.
It's not unlike that.
Yeah, it's the same.
However, there was a Pew survey that came out today that surveyed Sanders supporters and found 90% of them intend to vote for Hillary Clinton.
And as was said a moment ago in this room when the microphones were off, but what about the other 10%?
By Alan.
Yeah.
Okay. MF writes, good morning. Rosemary, ask yourself, if it were Clinton who was treated by DNC and the election process the way Bernie has, would you not be frustrated? Bernie and his supporters want a voice. We will not be silent. Okay. And then...
why do you have to be silenced?
Well, I think they mean we're not giving up. In other words,
they're going to continue to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't understand why you can't do both. Why you can't support the Democratic the candidate and work with Bernie Sanders, who's working on the movement with Hillary Clinton.
The Democrats have given plenty of ammunition to the notion that Trump will be a disaster. You know, that was what last night was about. And how could someone, you know, I mean, at the very least, Hillary is the lesser of two evils. They have to see it that way, wouldn't you think?
Robert says, panel, there is a tiny fraction of Bernie-supporting Democratic delegates who will never allow themselves to be convinced that Hillary is the candidate who won the majority of primary voters and therefore earned the nomination. These shouters have only one real agenda. It's all about me. And John says, going out among the protesters and telling them that you are proud to be the party of free speech and activists, have a voice vote on the platform outside the literal walls that separate the insiders from the voters, and do what they want. That can unite the party. And Kevin says, the Bernie backers need to back off. They are not helping him and their cause in the future. The parallel with rabid Trump supporters is unnerving. John says, Bernie people, in order to beat Trump, instead of encouraging Bernie to drop out or get his people on the Hillary train or asking the Bernie delegates to unify on Hillary, why not tell Hillary to get on board with the issues important to Bernie supporters? I think Bernie should run out his ground ball all the way to first base. Once he's out, she's going to gravitate back to the right of center.
Which we've said repeatedly on the show is exactly what she should be doing. This is a country that's centrist.
And Cindy says, if Hillary's polling numbers are so low and you are so afraid of a Trump presidency, then let the Bernie be the nominee. Let Bernie be the nominee, which he rightfully should be. He won election tampering everywhere, and Bernie would win in a landslide. The DNC is dead. Margie says, who's to blame? If Trump prevails in November, heaven forbid, DWS, HRC, and DNC, and the compact, complicit mainstream media, including NPR, 3 exclamation points, bears 100% of the responsibility. We had the best candidate, Bernie, and the above-mentioned entities did all they could to usurp the will of the people. Shame on DWS, HRC, and DNC, and all the mainstream media who failed to cover this blatant attack on our democracy. Okay, and let's see. And liberals, John says, liberals and Democrats are perceived as elitist and patronizing, hence Trump.
The most elitist and patronizing of them all.
A.S. Ginner says, I guess it's Ann. McCain was leading more after the convention than Don the Con, who is now. Mike was right that the Bernie supporters at the convention are his most passionate supporters. But I know people, myself, Sarah Silverman, and Alan included, true, who voted for Bernie but who will be voting for Clinton. Having said that, I do think people's hate for Hillary makes this election a nail biter. I think there's nothing
wrong.
These
letters are good this morning.
Yeah. Jeffrey says, dear folks, I have many people I talk to who are Trump supporters. They do not have the same image of America as I do and as you do. Tolerance is not their game. They do want to exclude Muslims. They do not believe in equal rights for gays. We must face the fact that their bigotry is out of the closet, and they are proud bigots as they feel they are defending America just like we feel are defending the fundamental principles of America. Very sad, said Jeffrey.
That's a really interesting point. I thought about that last night when there was indeed an amazing array of diversity, a disabled voice, drug addicts, black, white, women. It was really wonderful. But I think it's wonderful. There's a lot of people out there who wouldn't have liked that. And this person is right.
And it goes back to people who are offended by political correctness and they feel like it's stifled them.
They think diversity has ruined the country, not improved it.
Yeah. Juan says, hi, Roundtable. Why is it so hard to believe that people really want to believe that a Trump presidency will make America great again? America used to represent a small middle class. That is what people want. So, yes, the vast majority of Trump supporters are filtering. Thank you. And that's from Juan.
Juan, when was America great? What time are we talking about?
The Leave It to Beaver era was when a lot of people think it was great. You know,
you mean
mom
the TV.
Mom wore a dress
with pearls.
With pearls and never was seen lifting a duster or anything, you know. And it was just a nice time. Dad
always
wore a
beds.
Suit. Yes. I mean, everything was wonderful.
Separate beds. Yeah. Yep.
That's when America was great, Joe.
Yeah. John,
for them.
John says, I'm a registered member of the Green Party. I support Bernie's policies, but I'm not a follower of Bernie. I'm an adult. I realized that Bernie was running for president, not for Willy Wonka. If you truly, in capital letters, support Bernie's policies, you'll do whatever is necessary to stop Trump, including holding your nose and voting for Hillary, like I will. And Brian says, "Dear Roundtable, I've made a connection that we describe many of these upcoming nations as third world and dangerous. Through various organizations, we inform them that they should change their ways or escape the horror of their home. But then we tell them they can't come here." So I read that letter.
Let's pause there. Let's take a break.
Good letters
and
today.
We will come back. I'm sure many people will be writing right now. And there'll be wonderful letters when we return as well.
Very good letters today.
The pressure is on. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting the film Havana Curveball. 13-year-old launches a plan to send a baseball to the game-loving kids in Cuba. August 7th at 7 p.m., Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, jewishculturalfestival.org. Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, offering a Master of Social Work degree, full-time, part-time, day, evening, weekend options, online, in-person, hybrid courses. Adelphi.edu for more information. CNY Jazz, presenting the Northeast Jazz and Wine Festival July 29th and 30th in downtown Syracuse. Live music, wine tastings, and more. Event details at nejazzwinefest.org. And Baba Louie's Pizza, Great Barrington and Hudson, New York, featuring weekly specials after 8 p.m., appetizers, specialty pastas, wood-fired pizzas, gourmet salads, and gluten-free options. BabaLouie'sPizza.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday morning, the 26th of July. Very nice to have you with us. We talked about this yesterday, obviously, when the emails were released and how they were released. There is an article this morning in the New York Times about the question that is capturing the attention of cyber specialists, Russian experts, and Democratic Party leaders in Philadelphia. Is Vladimir Putin trying to meddle in the American presidential election? Until Friday, that charge, with its eerie suggestion of a Kremlin conspiracy to aid Donald Trump, has only been whispered. But the release on Friday of some 20,000 stolen emails from the Democratic National Committee's computer servers, many of them embarrassing to Democratic leaders, has intensified discussion of the role of Russian intelligence agencies in disrupting this campaign. The emails, released first by a supposed hacker and later by WikiLeaks, exposed the degree to which the Democratic apparatus favored Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders, obviously triggering the resignation of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Proving the source of a cyber attack is notoriously difficult, but researchers have concluded that the National Committee was breached by two Russian intelligence agencies and were the same attackers behind previous Russian cyber operations at the White House, as the State Department and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Is it just a conspiracy theory, or is there more to it than that?
We really don't know, but we do know this much. We do know that the Russians and the Chinese have not been above mucking, that's with an M, around with internet traffic. I suspect we have had similar propensities. I'm not sure. I can't prove it.
We're not as good as Putin.
NSA was looking at foreign leaders and their emails and their
right.
Calls.
So personally, does Alan Chartok personally believe that the Russians and that Putin, who has been an adventurist from the very beginning, is capable of doing this? Yes. The answer is yes.
I believe he is. There have been stories written, especially in Eastern Europe where I work, about Putin's manipulation of the internet. He has hired whole buildings of people who do nothing but troll the internet and respond to every comment about him, about policies he believes in. We saw this during the Olympics. We see it in his way that he's approaching and disseminating news in the Baltics, which I think he has aspirations for. Yes, he has the inclination, he has the machinery. I think it's really a danger, and I don't care about, this is not about like trying to hide the DNC emails. Let's leave that debate out of it. Even if that were not happening, I think that cybersecurity is a huge problem, and we've not yet begun to deal with it.
I think the key word in that New York Times piece that you referred to, Joe, was disrupting. I think it's in the interest of Russia or of a foreign power that we're at odds with to disrupt the American election in any way they can. Perhaps you could read into it, they don't want to see Hillary Clinton as president. That would be a tougher president to deal with because she does have a sense, after being Secretary of State and having been the first lady to Bill Clinton, of the world picture. Trump might be an easier guy to deal with for Putin. But even just throwing a hand grenade in and disrupting the convention and disrupting the whole election process is useful for the Russians. It gives them good propaganda and makes it difficult for us. And that makes it plausible to me.
In Trump's speech yesterday, he talked about it, but he didn't dismiss it, which I thought was interesting.
But he was sarcastic about it.
Yes.
It seemed like he was questioning whether that was the case.
And he came out and, you know, said that Debbie Wasserman Schultz was badly treated. He's really concerned about that.
He came to Debbie Wasserman Schultz's defense. What a man.
He has no shame. Tom says, just hit me with a little confusion and uncertainty. Right now, there's one thing we can count on, 2017, more war. And here's an interesting one. Is from Lisa, who says, Trump appeal. I believe Trump's main appeal is he's not a professional politician. The average person is tired of being broke while the rich get richer and the politicians are getting kickbacks for covering it up. I sadly know a lot more people voting for Trump than not. They're blue-collared average Joes who have had enough. For better or worse, Hillary is the personification of the problems with our government, and the newest scandal is a perfect example. And by the way, while I don't like Lisa's letter, I happen to agree with it. Sometimes it's tough to deal. And Aunt Barry says, I always equated political correctness with common courtesy. As for the life of me, I can't find anything wrong with common courtesy. Well, folks, there are
that's
a lot of people
point.
Out there who can. That's the thing. They just don't, you know, it takes some time to get on board and to understand that what you're doing to a particular subgroup could be done to you. You know, we have two people out here, right? Two with three with Irish heritage.
No, are you looking at me?
I am, no.
No, I'm purely Italian.
Italian. I remember that. And so the two of you with Irish background.
Yes.
You know, I mean, think of all the people who are now voting for Trump who don't remember what happened to the Irish when they arrived in this country and how badly they were treated.
Or the Italians.
I was going to say,
if you want to include the Italians,
I think
we're
pretty even in that regard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
No Italians need apply.
We've assimilated to the point that we don't even remember what it was like.
Our own history.
Yeah, and you know, it's the old adage, people who don't know history are doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
And I feel like we're doomed to repeat it unless we start telling people this.
Sean says, racist? The Democratic Convention still hasn't said ISIS. Trump did. So how is Trump racist? He said we are a nation of borders, and until we decide that we will enforce the law, as he mentioned, we have more legal immigration every day than any other country, and that's from Sean. And Frank says, roundtable. Rosemary questions the optics of the Bernieites. What about the optics of the DNC? Isn't this similar to the Black Lives Matter movement when injustice and corruption is turned around on the voices that have been suppressed? Is everyone in the bubble? Step one in their program should be admitting the DNC is a big part of the problem. Please remember what Bernie said. It's not about personalities. It's about us, the American people. It would be nice to hear the media remember us. We the people. And that's from Frank. Get it? Okay. You guys seem to have not watched the later hours of the convention. The PBS commentators had a positive take at the end.
Oh, don't you think, though, that it started out in turmoil, and by the end of the night, it was far different? I mean, a lot happened in one day.
No, I think it was
Michelle Obama got a very respectful hearing. She gave a great speech, but she was not booed. She was warmly received. I think Elizabeth Warren, the same. She had a little bit of trouble, but she was very forceful, and that was well received. I don't know.
Paul Simon, not so much. But I thought there was something very touching about Paul Simon not being able to sing that well, which is, hey, you know, that happens to people. This is something that all of us can respect. At least I can, because
I've been
there.
I thought he sounded great.
I thought he sounded fine.
He was soft.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, people lose
some
of the volume as they get older as a singer.
He's doing the song without his old partner, but other than that, it's
yeah,
still
Art
pretty
used
great.
To carry him a little,
yeah,
didn't
Art, he? Art could get that high note.
Paul was a great writer, and Art was the singer.
Phil says, how does Rosemary think calling people ridiculous is going to unite them? Bernieites are for the message and principles, not the man. So, well, that's clear when they booed him last night. Someone that is willing to point out there are problems within both parties need to think bigger than that. Hillary embodies the neoliberal party machine. further proven by the emails, which I fear almost as much as the Republican machine. I'm not going to read the rest of it because too long.
I still call them ridiculous. Hillary has incorporated some of their main policy points. Bernie was invited to Washington, and his little he was kowtowed to by the president and by Hillary and by Biden and all the rest. What more does it take? The process, again, Sarah Silverman.
He was given the respectful...
Yeah. Okay. But would it be better if it was just a coronation and there was no rancor at all? I mean, this is the kind of thing. No, I don't think so.
It would be a big contrast.
That wouldn't be a Democratic convention.
Well, that's true.
That's why we all love Mike. And Luke says, what bounce? The polling on Trump is mixed, to say the least. Not sure you're right saying he got a big bounce. Well, I saw a 6-point difference.
He was boasting about it on Twitter.
I'm sorry, Joe, but Trump was boasting about the bounce on Twitter.
There's 3 major polls out, and while others are coming out soon, there were 3 major polls out that were taken immediately following the convention that showed, because I believe it was the first time that he pulled ahead, right? Mm-hmm. That he was actually ahead by 2 or 3
points. But the pollsters themselves say that until now, I mean, it takes a few days for that to sort of play out. Right. It's really hard to read
into it, though. Labor Day, right? Labor Day when you start, where pollsters say that you can really start seeing something?
And you can't wear white after that.
I know.
Fashion, I thought those rules had
fashion
changed.
Tips from Ellen Chardog.
Yeah.
Well, you can do whatever you want.
Melania will wear white. She always wears white, like make a wedding dress. It's very weird.
So, Doug says, hi, Mike is the only one not being a drama queen this morning. Of course, Trump...
He's always the calm one.
Trump got a post-convention bump, then Clinton will. Ignore the current polls. See where they are in 30 days. Plus, the great majority of Bernie supporters have made the switch. You're seeing the rabid few who never will. That's Doug from Woodstock.
Okay, but how does... I still can't get it through my Joe brain of how somebody can be so... I'll say it, repugnant, and still have 50% of them. I mean, I think that is what... I don't know that that's being a drama queen.
Because you are missing, I think, Joe, what I've been trying to say and what several
No, I understand your point. I understand your point. I'm talking about this particular letter writer of saying that we're being... But I think what people are grappling with is that with that ideology... It's still a very, very close neck and neck race.
You bet it is. And that's because the American middle class, lower middle class thinks they've been screwed and are not interested in Trump or his words or his hairpiece. They are, if that's what he has.
I don't believe he does, Alan, but that's not the point.
That's okay. what they are interested in
is
whether or not they can get ahead in this society. And also... A lot of them are not politically correct. They don't like it.
One other explanation could be that when the pollsters call these people, they're angry, they want to disrupt, so they say deliberately, I'm going to vote for Trump just to express their anger. In the end, they may not. They actually may do the right thing, Alan.
You know, Mike, I truly love and respect you. But
Get ready, Mike.
But you're just wrong. That's not they say it to a pollster.
All right, we're going to end there. We'll be back tomorrow with more on this, obviously. Tonight, who's on the convention tonight? We have Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton is on tonight.
So we'll have plenty to talk about. Much more coming up. And we'll continue our... Nice, Mike. And we'll be back with more Roundtable after this.